This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
I don't really have to tell you what weekend it is, do I? That's right, 20 years since that fateful morning when we heard a plane hit the World Trade Center and the nightmare just hit us in waves. The second tower was hit. The Pentagon was hit. The towers crumbled to the ground. Another airliner lost in Pennsylvania. And we feared that wasn't the end of it. We take a look at 9/11 from the perspective of a firefighter, former Litchfield Fire Chief, current Montgomery County EMA Chief. Kevin Schott joins us, and he had a military firefighter role that fateful day. And now we join Kevin Schott for an enlightening conversation marking 20 years since 9/11 on Forum.
Chief in Litchfield when 9/11 happened? I'm trying to get a timeline idea where you were at that time.
No, at the time I was a career firefighter for the 183rd Fighter Wing, Illinois Air National Guard, up at Capitol Airport. The day of the attack, I was sitting at home. It was my day off. My daughter called me and asked me if I had the TV on, which I didn't. She said, well, you better turn it on. And I did. At that time, the first tower had been struck, and I continued to watch news, and of course the second tower was struck, and then the towers collapsed, and my very first thoughts when I turned on the TV and saw what was happening was to the poor firefighters, because we study building construction quite extensively, and we understand live loads, dead loads. The buildings are built to withstand winds, but they're not built to withstand the side impact of a major aircraft, nor the fire load that that aircraft's going to have. I thought it was only, as soon as I saw it, I thought it was only going to be time before they collapsed, which they did, killing 343 of the FDNY's finest. I went to work. The next few days were extremely hectic. We were getting secret security briefings every day with what was going on in the world. Our base then took over the mission of protecting Chicago. Our F-16s were loaded with live missiles and would take off screaming into the night whenever there was some sort of problem up in the Chicago area. Our F-16s could make it to Chicago in just a matter of a couple of minutes, quite honestly. And it was scary. And one of the most scary things was the noise of those aircraft taking off, because if you remember, it was deathly quiet outside. There was no movement in the air or on the rails. And it was surreal to be sitting there as a member of the military and as a firefighter, watching what was unfolding in our country.
And I imagine 20 years of YouTube videos and conspiracy theories about the towers, having not only firefighting knowledge, but knowledge of the potency of jet fuel. Obviously multiply when you go from a F-16 to a airliner made for transatlantic flight. It has to be frustrating to hear these things cycled in and cycled over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's, and I tell you what's sad, to a certain extent, even the fire service, but people have kind of forgot what it was like September 12th, which in my mind is what America should be every day when we're taking care of each other, we care for each other and doing the things that we do. It's frustrating at times to hear some of the people talk about some of those conspiracy theories. But the fact of the matter is we were attacked by a small group of radical terrorists, and the events cannot ever be forgotten.
Obviously, you've always had a very intense profession. But firefighting after 9/11, I know the FDNY, you know, you try to get people to be proactive in government. I know sometimes that's difficult, but the FDNY said, hey, we need better radios if we're going to handle some kind of skyscraper fire, and fell on deaf ears. And sure enough, the worst case scenario comes into play. Do you think in the 20 years since, government has been more proactive and receptive to the needs of fire departments? Certainly fire departments, I mean, we're not talking across the country here, but just within the state of Illinois in the last two decades.
You know, the state of Illinois truly leads the nation in their mutual aid system, the Mavis mutual aid box alarm system that we all operate under. We're able to support, we have several Illinois firefighters down in Louisiana right now supporting the recovery efforts after that disastrous hurricane. So Illinois does extremely well with supporting their firefighters and doing what we need to do. Nationwide, not quite as good, to be honest with you. We still have communication problems. After 20 years of the serious communication problems that FDNY had during the Twin Towers attack, we could still use some improvement on that.
Looking at the firefighting aspect, has that maybe enlightened people just to the wide range of of emergencies and scenarios that firefighters take on? Because I think people are becoming more aware of it, and certainly it seems like, I mean, just talking to the Witt Fire Department the other day, It really is inspiring to me, like what a volunteer department in a small town can do. It's just amazing just how you can fit that many life-saving activities under one roof.
Being a firefighter is certainly not a job. And I'm not saying that simply because 70% of fire departments in the state of Illinois are volunteer fire departments. What I'm saying is, it gets in your soul. It gets in your heart. It is so much more than a career. For us, speaking personally, the care for the people that we have, and we are ready to do absolutely everything we possibly can for our communities when it comes to safety, that is still there. Unfortunately, volunteerism is dying down in this country. All of the small departments are having some problems getting recruits. Witt, you mentioned Witt, they're just doing an outstanding job. They've got great leadership. They're teaching camaraderie, and they're really doing a good job in Witt. That's not the case in every department. Not every department has great leadership. The ones that do are prospering. The ones that don't are suffering.
Well, the business of firefighting isn't exactly getting any cheaper, is it?
No, the costs are continually going up. There was a lot of federal money that came to the fire service after 9/11. That's died down a little bit. We still have SAFER grants and FEMA grants that we can go after. They're very competitive grants. Dan Rogers does a great job writing grants. He's got a side business that he does that is helping local fire departments out tremendously. Hats off to Dan and what he's doing. And several of our local departments have been successful in getting FEMA grants here recently.
Avoiding COVID. That is, hearing about fire departments across the country, that is a big challenge, isn't it? I mean, you got to fight in tandem. Yeah, you're working in close quarters, and I don't know about breathing apparatus or how that comes into play, but just tell us about the challenge of avoiding COVID-19 while in the fire service.
It is indeed a huge challenge. Most fire departments are wearing protective masks at every call that they go to. The SCBA will protect them from respiratory problems. Their mask will have to be sanitized when they get back from the call so that they're not spreading any of the COVID vaccine or COVID virus. It's making it very difficult. And I tell you what, our EMS folks are just taking, forgive my language, but a hellacious beating out there. Our hospitals are getting overwhelmed. Our EMS systems are having to transport patients a lot farther out of their district, which takes that ambulance away from the local response area. The EMS folks are honestly having a harder time with the COVID than what the fire service is.
Yeah, I understand turnover has been an issue in some areas. Has that been a problem here, maintaining personnel? Have they been able to just soldier on through it locally?
There's been a few. We have lost a few EMS and fire personnel, probably. COVID has certainly contributed to that. But for the most part, we've got a great group of men and women in this area that are continuing to answer the call to help their communities out. We haven't suffered too badly. My concern is, in the future, are we going to get the young people interested in going to the schools, getting the education, the training that it's going to take to continue on in the emergency services world?
What would you say to a young person about the benefits of the fire service, whether it's a career or EMS or just a volunteer firefighter and, taking on that, taking on a responsibility that many have grown to know and love so well and just can't seem to walk away from?
Yeah, I'll probably die doing something in the emergency services. I tried retirement and I didn't like it, so I came back to work. What would I say to a young person? It's one of the most rewarding things you can ever do. However, you have to be aware that you're going to see some of the worst of sometimes the worst of humanity, certainly some things that you wouldn't wish anybody else to see. We deal with some pretty horrific things at times. However, I think the way that I look at it, I want to respond the way that I will want someone responding to my family. And that's the way that I do respond. That's the way that I handle the things that I do. I'm going to do my absolute best. When I have gone through the bad things, you just talk it out. Psychologists would have a heyday with firefighters after a horrendous call because we don't talk like normal people. But it's our way of coping with what we've just had to deal with, quite honestly. It's a rewarding career. I would encourage anybody that's physically capable to do it. I encourage anybody that isn't physically capable of doing the actual job of firefighting. There's plenty of things that you can do to assist the local fire department when they're on a call, making coffee, getting them water, doing some of those things is very beneficial. I love the fire service. It's been great for me. I've had a great life with it, and I'm going to continue to do it in one capacity or the other, probably for the rest of my life.
When you think about property taxes, and I know with Springfield, my experience there, you're talking about building new firehouses and getting rid of some of the old neighborhood firehouses and some of the expenses of firefighting, big rigs and full staff of firefighters, which you need in a city of 100,000 plus. Volunteer firefighters really keep the cost of living down, don't they? I mean, when you talk about property taxes, they're a big part of why it's such an affordable way of life down here.
You're exactly right. The volunteers can save. There was a study done. I don't remember the exact figure, but it was a volunteer department would save tens of thousands of dollars compared to a career department in the community. most of our communities don't have a big enough tax base to be able to afford any career firefighters. It's rewarding. I started as a volunteer firefighter over in Carlinville, spent 20 years with them. It was 20 of the most rewarding years of my life. My military experience is probably second to that as far as career satisfaction. And now this job, I'm very excited about and very happy to be able to serve Montgomery County in this position.
Hmm. Yeah, some of the numbers are pretty astonishing. WIT, $32,000 annual budget. I don't know if people really, I know I didn't know just how little is devoted by some of these towns to fire service. And I mean, not only learning the science of firefighting, working at it, researching it, but to do the fundraising and everything, it's an unbelievable story.
It truly is. There are many of our smaller departments really only get by doing fundraisers. They don't have income coming in, and they may not have the ability to write a good grant. So they're getting by on fundraisers, which takes extra time away from their families in addition to responding to the calls that they get. So we cannot stress enough the importance of a volunteer fire department in a small community and how the community should truly support them, because they are a godsend for that community.
Well, thanks to Kevin Schott, and thanks to you out there, firefighters, EMS, ambulance personnel, the dispatchers out there, all of you who make it work, the police, the first responders, incredibly stressful work, and we thank you for all you do. It's hard to believe 343 souls lost in the towers with the New York Fire Department, the Fire Department of New York, as well as the police officers, and so many civilians lost that day, and certainly lost in Washington as well, in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We think of them this weekend, and thanks to all of you for listening. We'll see you again next weekend for Around Montgomery County. I won't say the words never forget, because how would you forget? You don't forget the day you said I do, or the day your child entered the world. And while that may not be as personal of a moment, it's one of those things that will never leave my memory. Thanks again, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you next weekend here on WSMI.